We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everybody, how you doing? Well, that's good. Welcome to PHLY Flyers, presented by Mortgage CS. Check out mortgagecs.com/PHLY to start your home buying process today. Company and MLS ID number 1464766. My name is Bill Matz. I'm your director of fun and games for the afternoon. Joining me today, the star of the Anthony Gargano show right here at PHLY, it is JP Zapata. Long time no see, JP.
I know, man. I get to
see you around the office, but it's been since, I don't think we've been together since game 82.
No, we haven't.
It's been, and now, you know, yesterday is the draft lottery, and now we're in this, weird little time where, I guess they can make trades, and but really it's, we have to wait till the draft now.
Right.
It's the Stanley Cup playoffs is what's going on. And this might be the one dead part of the Flyers calendar. Like, shit probably not going to happen. Of course, Charlie is on his little European vacation. So I assume something's going to happen.
Right.
Because something is going to happen while he's away that's going to stress him out about missing it. It's going to be very funny. But like it's a very weird time for the Flyers right now. So I just got, JP, how's the Gargano show going? How's it been going since we last spoke?
Dude, it's been awesome. Obviously, we talked a little bit about the lottery. We had Charlie on the day of the lottery. It was really cool to see. Yeah, no, I'm expecting Scott Long gets traded while Charlie's buddy's getting right in the middle of his buddy getting married. And then Charlie's going to be like, what the heck am I supposed to do here? I'm at a wedding.
But it will be something like that. No, it's how did Charlie hold up to questioning about his Ranger Suarez takes?
It was fun, man. You know, cuz he likes busting balls and busting Charlie's balls on that one. But no, listen, he had a valid point. You know, he's got some valid points on that. I don't think that Ranger's an ace just yet, but I mean, he's pitching really, really well. And we'll have to wait to see what happens come postseason time, man. But it's always fun. Charlie knows a thing or two about baseball. So do you, Bill.
He does. No, he absolutely does. It's fun now. Like, I go back and forth between loving and kind of missing covering everything.
Right.
Like, part of me, certain parts of this, I'm like, thank God I don't have to talk about this. I'm like so happy. There were days in July when I was on the air and it was the Phils are they're making their push now. So they're good. So I think people are more interested in talking about them. And they've made some postseason runs the last couple years. But that was a couple years ago. It was pulling teeth to get people. I'd be on after a Phillies game.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be like, all right, we got a few Phillies calls and now people are done.
Yeah.
And I finally be like, fine, you want me to do it? I'll do it. Jalen Hurts. Like, and then suddenly,
always Eagles.
And I'm like, it's July. I don't want to do this right now. Talk to me about like Alec Boehm or something. Literally. You know, he made an error tonight. Like, talk to me. And it was like, I miss, like, part of me is like, man, I love talking about the Flyers every day. And then when things are good, I'm like, God damn it, I want to talk about Bryce Harper.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, all I want to talk about is Bryce Harper.
Well, during the Met Gala, the Ben Simmons picture arose, and I thought of you, because like, I feel like you would have had a boatload of fun killing
him
for that.
I just, that guy, like, that's what he is now. He's a dude, he's a mannequin for someone to dress up and send out in public. He has no purpose. Like, I guess he's still a Twitch streamer or something. He's not a basketball player. He plays as much NBA basketball as I do. Like, he's not
basketball player in quotes.
Yeah.
Air quotes.
Occupation basketball player. Like, the IRS would send his W-2 back and be like, no, try again. We can find no footage of this. There's no proof that you're an NBA player.
We don't have Ben Simmons in the NHL.
Really. No, but I'm glad the Gargano show is going well. I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
I would love to be able to watch playoff hockey every single night. And if the Flyers were in it, I'd be like, babe, listen, gotta work. Last night, of course, I chose last night with the overtime games. It was like, all right, let's see what you want to watch. And Ava was like, you know, everyone's been talking about this baby reindeer. Have you heard about this?
Dude, I'm starting episode 4. It pisses me off. Like, we don't want to spoil anything, but dude, just stop. Yo, just stop.
I really
call the cops.
I don't get shit. And like, whatever you're into, like, listen, I like, you know, watching greasy guys in tights pretending to fight, you know. It's like, so I'm not gonna diss what anyone's into. I just don't get this shit. Like, this is nothing.
It's
a lunatic chick and a depressed dude who are just the most toxic people. I hate them all. There's nothing redeeming about this show.
But I need to know what the ending is.
I know. That's we binged the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I hate this so much. Ava's like, you want to turn it off? I'm like, no, I can't. I can't. I hate it. I hate what I'm watching right now. And I have to keep going.
It's like the Flyers in 8-game losing streak.
It's just like, I felt like bad after. Like, I finished it. I was like, I don't feel good. Like, anyone who gets enjoyment out of this, I don't understand how. I had to get this off my chest.
Yeah,
today.
I'm going to finish that. It's super frustrating, man.
But watch it, I guess. I don't know why. But yeah, once you start, you're like, I need to know where this is going because it's insane.
To. Yeah.
But
they did a good job.
I'm still fucked up by it. I watched this last night. And
Bill will
never
be right again.
I slept and like I woke up today. I was like, no, I still don't feel right. Like, this is, no, I need to do drugs.
Will I be surprised at the ending?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it takes all sorts of twists and turns. It's, writing it was probably fun. Although like the dude who wrote it and created it is the star of it. And this happened to him. So I can't imagine it was fun. The whole thing is wild. I need to talk to someone about it.
Yeah,
I
feel
the people in the show need therapy. So I'm like, just watching it, I'm like, these people need teams of therapists. Yeah. Everybody on this show needs a team of therapists. And then it was done, and I was like, maybe I do. Because I don't feel like I feel fucked up from this.
Yeah. Once I finish it, we're going to talk about it. But, dude, it was absolute. And the fact that this guy is a comedian, like, he was trying to be a comedian. It's like, dude,
the
what?
Whole thing is wild. All right. Anyway, so I did watch some hockey content last night, obviously.
We had a lottery, too.
Before the game started, there was the draft lottery. And despite our best efforts to bring the team luck yesterday, not only did the Flyers not move up or down, nobody moved up or down. All like 16 picks, exactly where everyone slotted in. Nobody moved. The San Jose Sharks, good for them.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Chicago. It wasn't the Devils. It wasn't asshole team.
Thank God.
At least like the Sharks, cool. You know who I'm going to have? I'm going to see Macklin Celebrini twice a year. That's it. Yeah, maybe. So good for them. But the Flyers stay at 12. So I started looking up some mock drafts, and it was weird. I think this is the first time since 2010 nobody moved in the lottery. It's like everyone retained their spot.
Did you see the Buchegirl sleep?
I did, yeah.
You think that has anything to do with no one moving?
I think, no. I think he took a picture of them rehearsing, and, like...
But also, why?
I think he did it on purpose.
You think he did it on purpose?
I think he did it to make people go nuts. 100%. I think he's trolling with it. But it's absolutely like I see them definitely throughout the day. What else are they doing?
Yeah.
Like they're okay, this is what we're gonna talk about if Utah moves up, and we are gonna talk about you like, and this is how it's all gonna play out. So I don't think there was anything to it.
It was funny,
the
though.
NHL being competent enough to rig the lottery. I do believe that they did for Sidney Crosby.
Okay.
You can never convince me otherwise.
Okay.
But like on the whole, like, and just like the way they took the rules that year, like there was no hockey. So they were like, fuck it. We're going to use the same standings as last season. Why? Why doesn't everyone get an equal shot? Like, this is stupid. Oh, and they won. Big surprise. Mario Lemieux and the team's going to move. And suddenly now you have Crosby. Oh, shock. But the idea that the league is competent enough. Like
this.
They did. I talked about this yesterday. They do like a hype intro video for the Boston-Florida series. And it's like about Boston getting redemption on Florida. And it's fucking Casey Affleck. They couldn't even get Ben. Like, to think that the league is competent enough to rig this thing. Oh, we have Connor McDavid coming into the league. You know where we're going to send him? Western Canada. Like, no, he'd be a Ranger if they were, like, you know.
True.
You know what we're going to do? Make money on this guy. All the Canadian teams, they make money. You know what the American teams don't do? Make a dime unless they're any good or in a major market.
This is very
Send
true.
Them to Nashville. Boom. Suddenly, Nashville's your number one team.
Hockey like City, America.
But, like... Yeah, we're going to send him to the Oilers. The NHL is not competent enough to rig the lottery.
That's a good point, man.
But so I started, of course, already looking up some mock drafts.
Nerd announce some mock drafts? I love it, man.
Yeah, and listen, because this draft is so weird, it seems as if the general consensus, yeah, like there's guys who are like, Demidov looks like he's probably going to go two, and there's dudes like in the top five who everyone, but it seems as if basically in terms of prospect grades, Macklin Celebrini is going one. Like, they had him there last night.
Yeah.
Like, it was the Celebrini lottery. He was there answering questions like, yeah, I'm going to San Jose now. There is no question about who was going one.
Did he look happy?
Yeah. He just looked like he doesn't belong doing this sort of thing yet. Like, he doesn't have nearly enough media training for this.
Okay.
Like, he was just like, yeah.
Not like Bedard
wild,
last year.
Man. Yeah, like, yeah, he just... I don't know. All they're like kids. These are like
true.
Little kids.
And all they've done is play hockey for like the last
that's
like
it.
8 years.
That's it. They're hockey players.
Yeah.
And like they're high school kids. I always have to remind myself, like, this is a high school kid.
I would have said two words at 18 years like, old.
Yeah, this is pretty wild, man. Like, he's like, I think it was Buchagross was like, so you've been like checking out like Zillow and looking for, he's like, what's Zillow?
You think an 18-year-old kid knows what Zillow is?
No, you know, his agent is going to find him an apartment, and his mom is going to find him an apartment.
Exactly.
Like, Jesus. But, like, after Celebrini going one, it appears as if, like, 2 to 13 to 14, basically the same grade on guys.
Yeah.
Like, guys could hit, guys could not, and they might all have the same ceiling. Some guys might have higher ceiling, but a bigger chance to bust, whatever it might be. But it looks like the grades are all basically the same. So I'm going to know what people think is going to be happening in these, like in this weird part of the first round where,
right.
Yeah, you're going to get a good player, but which one? Like, it's all just going to depend on the order. And first mock draft I looked at was over at the Hockey News. And this is a player Charlie has talked about, Berkeley Catton. They have the Flyers taking Berkeley Catton at 12. And then the next two picks are Cole Eiserman and Carter Yakimchuk. I love Yakimchuk. The Athletic, then, I checked them out. The Athletic has Philly taking Yakimchuk with Catton going 10, Eiserman going 11. So it looks like they're going to be about in this range. A lot of people are really, really high on Cole Eiserman, just goal-scoring machine. People wonder if that's all he can do, if he doesn't have a complete game.
Right.
I'll tell you, watching these playoffs, anyone who can just score, that's really valuable because scoring is really, really hard. Like, you need guys who can just score. Look at, like, what's going on in Carolina. This has been their problem forever. Shit, man. Toronto. Toronto has a bunch of dudes who score.
Yeah.
They can't score in the playoffs for whatever reason.
That's a really good point.
It's weird. Like, you do need guys who can do that, but I really like this. And I think, like, Kevin Kerr is over at The Athletic. Maybe he's got something to do, but this Yakimchuk dude just kind of seems like a Flyers type of pick.
I know.
A big physical defenseman, but also has a lot of offensive upside.
Yeah.
And that's what I think they need. Like, they need a mean guy. They need a guy who might just cross-check you because he feels like it sometimes. But I don't want to sacrifice moving the puck because that's the problem with, like, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah, we have all these studs up front. We can't get the puck to them. we're in our zone. We get the puck, and then we just kind of have to flip it up and hope they then win a battle. Like, that's not how you break out. And, like, that's, I think, one of the things the Flyers could use a little bit more of is some good puck-moving guys, but I want the physicality. So I really like this dude.
Yeah.
And it was actually one of our social media team members, Chris, just sent me this a little bit ago. The last 12 players selected at number 12.
That's right.
You think, all right, 12, that's like borderline. It's the top half of the first round. Maybe you want to call it the middle third, whatever it is. But you always, oh, the Flyers needed a top 10 pick. Yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice if they got the first pick. But you look at this list, and there's some really good names on it. Like Lundell with Florida.
Matt Flyers Bolt. Great, Dennis Garion.
Yeah, that one made me laugh. I was like, of course. Of course there's someone on here we're familiar with, and guess what? He's not very good. You know? Like, we got him on. Or no, we got him. What was that? That was the Wade Allison trade.
Yeah.
But, like, Matt Boldy in Minnesota, he's had some really good years for them.
That's right.
If they could get Noah Dobson, that would be huge.
Yeah.
Like, that, he's an – I think he just had a 70-point season. He had a couple 50-point seasons for the Islanders. He's awesome as a defenseman. Martin Natchez in Carolina. Like, there's some really, really good players. Max Domi on this list. Maybe not that top end superstar player that the Flyers so badly need, but you got to have the depth too. And with two first round picks, I think this is a pretty good start.
Yeah.
I've always thought they're going to have to probably buy one of the two big needs they have, whether it's a 1D or a 1C.
More than likely.
I think the Flyers are in position just looking at how these first couple of mock drafts, and guess what? We're going to be talking a lot about mock drafts like once we get into June. I'm going to hold off until then because I don't want to do this for a month and a half. I'm going to be honest with you. That's going to be real boring.
Yeah,
but once we get into June, we're going to be looking at some mock drafts. And the first couple I see now, like, they're in range. Like, you see Cole Iserman in or around this area, Carter Yakimchuk in or around this area. They're in position to get a good player. It is disappointing they did not win the lottery because that's fun, right?
Oh, of course.
If I knew who none of these players were, like, oh, they won the lottery. Great. That said, number two has been a bit cursed for us. So maybe it's a good in a year where there's like no defined, like, oh, you have to get up into the lottery to take this dude. Like, in a year where that doesn't exist, they didn't waste their luck, maybe.
Right. Well, I was looking at Eric Daschek of The Athletic. He put out a really good point in his article. You know, they obviously we're looking at the year Nolan Patrick, the 2017 draft. The Flyers would have stayed put at 13. The 13th pick was Suzuki.
Yeah, Nick Suzuki.
Yeah, and he's been a solid player for Montreal. So, like, obviously, yes, Bill, you're right. Like, it's fun winning the lottery. Like, I remember exactly where I was when we won that lottery. I was so excited. I was elated. I was a server at the time, Maggiano's and Cherry Hill. And I essentially quit my job for 5 minutes because I was so excited. We got the second overall pick. So, like, the excitement is definitely there. But, like, I think with the 12th pick here, we could still find something that can help us out down the line. You know, talking to Charlie on the Anthony Gargano show yesterday, he really made it seem like this is a draft where we might not have elite talent, but there are guys, especially at number 12, who can be a crucial part of your lineup. And listen, later on down the line in the draft and later rounds, you could probably continue filling out that roster, but you can find someone here down the line who can help you out within this lineup there. And so when I'm looking at number 12, Bill, like you mentioned a couple prospects that definitely sound promising, but I think extremely important. I think Danny did a great job of this last year, drafting best available instead of drafting for need. Obviously, look, we have a couple needs. We could use forwards. We can obviously, like you mentioned, find that number 1D, but get that big board, find that big board, and then draft in best available. I think that's going to be really crucial here.
No, and I think what he did last year that was a pretty big deal was it seems as if at least right now, a year later, they did well in the later rounds too, like finding a Denver Barkey. You always need to find value. If you can just have a couple of those dudes in your lineup, because they'll always be cheaper. Mm-hmm. Like, until their third contract. Like, it's just an advance, like, yeah, but, you know, like third round pick, you didn't get, maybe you didn't get to the league until 21, 22 instead of like 18, 19 and you're good right away. Like, it just always kind of suppresses their salary to the point that it might, like, you're getting a deal out of whatever you're paying them as long as they're like productive NHL players.
Right.
You need to find a couple of those guys. And if you can find the diamond in the rough, like a Braden Point or a Kucherov or a Wayne Simmons in the second round, like that is huge always. Wayne Simmons was underpaid his entire career.
Yeah, you know, like, for sure.
And like, he's a 30 goal scorer. And it's like, yeah, he signed a contract early because he wanted to get that, like he wanted to have that insurance, and it was, yeah, well, you turned into a really, really good player.
Absolutely.
And so the Flyers are paying him, you know, under like $4.5 million. It's like, he scored 30 goals and gotten 10 fights this year. Like, this is, this is surplus value. So like, they just need to continue doing that well. And I do think the best available thing is always important. I always talk about the Tampa Bay when they drafted Jonathan Drouin, and yeah, like Jonathan Drouin, he had a nice year this year with Colorado. Might be, he's turned himself into a nice player, but like a bust for all intents and purposes early in his career with Tampa. But just having that, like, hey man, they took him like what, second, third overall, something like that. He's got that pedigree. He was thought of as a dude with star potential. Guess what they could do? Trade him and get Mikhail Sergachev, who helped them win two cups.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we got something we badly needed because we took best available. And that pedigree always kind of maintains some value. Like, he could be anything, yeah, even a star.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Like, I always think, especially in hockey, your needs right now are not going to be your needs in 3 years when this dude's ready, probably. Yeah, if there's an, like, yes, if Connor McDavid's available, guess what? You need him. Doesn't matter. You could have four centers that are all pretty good. Take him. But like, in hockey, it takes a few years for basically everybody. Your needs are going to change.
Yeah.
Who, like, oh yeah, guess what? Yeah, you know, Denver Barkey, he's a stud. We no longer need like that spot that we thought we did a year into his development. You never know. Maybe he's a center. All of a sudden we're set at center. Who's to say? Yeah. So I always think just take the best player. Unless it's a goalie, and goalies don't go in the first round anyway.
Yeah.
They just don't get graded, yeah, that way. So I do appreciate that Danny seems to have been doing that. And I trust what they've been doing in the draft. Even these scouts back with Chuck Fletcher didn't do a bad job.
No, they didn't.
Like, the drafts that they had went pretty well. Like, that's, of all the things Fletcher did poorly, drafting is not at the top of the list,
no,
I guess is how I'd put it. I got to talk to you. We'll do this in a second because I don't have it ready. Before we do that.
Well, we got a super chat.
Oh, we got
Johnny Hockey himself here, Bill. He's letting us know, can the Flyers finally trade for me? Johnny Hockey.
I would love for that to be the case. Now, honestly, it would be.
He's even got the Photoshop Johnny Hockey in the Flyers.
That's very funny. I do wonder if, like, a couple of years from now, it's a possibility.
I still have those dreams, Bill.
It would always just be fun. I don't know how him and Torts would do, but I don't expect Torts to be the coach in a couple of years.
Yeah.
That's the other part of this. It would always just be really cool to have Johnny Gaudreau as a Philadelphia Flyer.
Of course. Hometown
the
kid.
Thing I think about Johnny at this point is he is a great player at playing with other great players.
Good point.
He might not necessarily make his line mates better. So he is a finishing piece, not a guy you build around. Like, that is an awesome. All right, we have our 1C. We have five players to play in our top six.
Mm-hmm.
We think we have five guys out of six who are championship quality for to contend. We need one more. Go get Gaudreau then. Like, that is the situation in which Johnny Gaudreau could absolutely thrive. He's playing with Matt Tkachuk. Those two are both going to have a career year.
Mm-hmm.
You separate them, Tkachuk is still a superstar, and Goudreau's good. He's,
yeah,
real good. He's not, oh man, first overall in a fantasy draft. You know,
no.
Like, he's not that. And I think that's kind of...
Well, that's why Yarmo got fired.
Yeah, but I would... I'm all about bringing him in a few years.
How can you not?
You know, like, it would always be cool. Yeah. Like the dude's dad taught me to skate. Like I want him to be a Philadelphia Flyer. I still do. Even after like these couple of years with Columbus, absolutely would love to see him.
Trajectory aligns. There's no way no one can want Johnny Gaudreau and that orange and black man.
I gotta tell everybody about this really sick deal going on with Shady Rays right now. I actually ended up ordering a couple pairs of sunglasses from Shady Rays the other night because nice. Listen, they have a lot of really cool glasses, a lot of different styles. I recommend for everybody. With longer hair, they have – I'm an aviator guy. Yeah, the thing about aviators is they usually have that, like, separate nose piece that, like, sticks out, and it's like a thin wire, and you put your sunglasses up on your head, and now your sunglasses are stuck in your hair.
Lost your hair.
Yes, and then they pull it out when it's a mess. They have these tangle-free sunglasses that are absolutely awesome. It's a different kind of nose piece, so it doesn't get stuck in your hair. It's really cool. But you can get ready for the season ahead with quality shades built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered with premium polarized sunglasses that won't break the bank. Shady Rays is an independent sunglass company offering a world-class product rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Their shades have durable frames and crystal clear optics, making them the perfect choice for all outdoor adventures. They have hundreds of options to choose from, so you're bound to find the perfect pair to match your style. And they probably have a style in your favorite team's colors. Here's the thing that's going on, though, with the deal that they're giving exclusively to PHLY listeners. Shady Rays is giving out the best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code PHLY for 35% off polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated by 5 stars by over 300,000 people. 35% off. Listen, man, it's outdoor season. Spring is here. Summer's coming.
Short time.
Yeah, man. You want to get down to the beach. You're going to be outside a lot more. I know I can't be outside without sunglasses. I went on Shady Rays the other night. This isn't even like, oh, they sent me some, so I have to talk about it. I went to their website and purchased 2 pairs. They're en route. They're going to be here in a couple days. Like, I am real excited. 35% off. How can you argue with that? Shady Rays. Check them out. All right. It's a little newsy thing that I saw today. Sam Marison's going to play for Sweden in the IIHF World Championships, and that's cool for him. He's going to get to represent Sweden. That's sure. Huge for especially the international players. Like, they love representing their country, and it is almost an Olympic tryout, and Olympics in a couple of years, and you just look at the Swedish goalies in the NHL.
Yeah.
Linus Ullmark, he's awesome.
Yep.
He's going to be 30, 32 mm-hmm. by the time the Olympics come around. But still, like, got to believe he'll be one of the guys. Mm-hmm. Then there's Jacob Markstrom. Didn't have the best year, but he's really good. He'll be 36 at the next Olympics. Like, no guarantee he's a starting quality goaltender at that point. And then you just kind of look around and not many other Swedish goalies. Like, who is it? I just had Philip Gustafsson in Minnesota. He's pretty good. There's a couple other guys, but no one who really stands out. And then there's Sam Marison. Like, guess who made the most starts in the league among Swedish goalies last season? It was Sam Marison.
Sam boy.
I think he tied with Markstrom at 48 or 49. But I got to tell you, like, the dude just played, I think, 51 total games. We're down at the end of the season. Just don't love it. Like, he knows what's best for him, and he's got trainers, I hope, and it's with the Flyers probably. Yeah, man, go represent your country. It's not like it's a full season. It's a short World Championship tournament. There's 3 goalies on the roster. Take a rest, brother. You were just so beat up at the end of the year. Like, you looked like shit for a little while there. Just take a break. I know it's cool. Like, good for him. But, like, I don't know. Don't get hurt. You're our only goalie.
No, literally. Sam suffers the same issue I do, is that, like, he just doesn't know how to stop, man. He just wants to keep going. And I'll be honest, like, I think I'm in on this simply because something about playing internationally, like, it's a different type of competition. And it definitely raises your game for sure. So, and, like, obviously you mentioned it, like, the whole pride thing represented for Sweden is a big thing too. But, like, one thing to say, Bill, is that Sam's job next year, obviously, listen, we're gonna rely on him, but we still don't know exactly what we have in Sam. And what I mean by that is he the guy? Is he the 1A guy or is he 1B? Like, those are different things that we're going to find out in the next year. But I think that going through this type of, you know, this type of camp with Sweden, I think it'll be good, valuable lessons to learn for Sam Harrison. Curious to see how he does there.
And I just don't want to have this goalie problem. It's like, oh, and he tore his groin, and now that's going to linger forever. Like, you know, like, because those just don't go away. It's just the biggest pain in the ass. Like Ivan Fedotov, awesome story. I'm hoping he becomes at least like an NHL caliber backup.
For sure.
We have no idea what he is. He might stink. He might be awesome. Like, nobody actually has a clue. And right now, like, we are depending on Sam Harrison to be the goalie, at least for next year, and be the guy until Alexei Kolosov is ready, right, or Igor Zavragin is ready, or whoever. Like, he is at least, for right now, penciled into that spot. And I want him to have every opportunity to, like, yeah, I'm the guy. Get rid of all these other dudes. Trade him for shit you need because I'm the dude. I want him to have that chance.
Agreed.
That said, he does need to learn to take on a huge workload.
Yeah.
Like, he was tired at the end of the season. He started 48 games. If he is going to be that guy, he's going to start 50 games a year at least and then have to go play in the playoffs, hopefully 20 times. Like, it is something they have to learn to do.
To continue that development, though, like we talked about at the end of the year, they still do need to go out and find that veteran goalkeeper for not only just Sam, but like you mentioned with Fedotov and when Kolosov is ready as well. But, like, that veteran goalie is going to be so important in that room, I believe.
I'm very interested to see how they address that. Like, mm-hmm. At the exit interviews, they kind of really made it sound, and the money that they're paying Fedotov now, like over $3 million,
it's going to be an expensive room there soon.
Like, if they are to go get a veteran goalie, I don't know what kind of budget they have in mind for that. It really looks like it might be just those two guys. That means we're probably looking at another 50-plus starts for Sam Harrison, which I don't have a problem with. As long as they're, like, evenly spaced. You know, this year, Harrison was on such a weird trajectory. It was like beginning of the year, he had a couple of games. They didn't go so well. Then he started to find himself November, December. And it was, oh man, maybe we should be a little closer to 50-50 here. And he was starting to really earn his time, had a few shutouts. And then all of a sudden, Carter Hart disappears and he starts 18 out of 21. It was, well, no, not that. Like, we don't want that. If he starts the same number of games, but they're, like, on a normal schedule, right, we'll have a much better idea of what he is. Because you just look at, like, you break his season down into portions, you can just see, oh, yeah, he got tired. And any goalie would, given that schedule he was on. Like, he was on, like, a 70-start pace from January 20th on.
Seriously,
that's a shit ton. Like, dudes don't play that much anymore.
Yeah, and I'll definitely help when you don't have Cal Peterson or Felix Sandstrom here.
That's anymore. They badly need Fedotov to be a guy they can at least say, every third or fourth game, you're not going to be the reason we lose, you know? And that is what happened with the backup goalies this year.
7 goals to Pittsburgh. We can't have that happen again, guys.
Yeah, just on, you know, 19 shots or whatever it was. Like,
it was terrible, man.
I want great things for Sam Harrison because I think he showed a lot of guts this year. Like,
for sure, man. That was such a tough spot.
Was he tired? But we didn't hear it. Like, we were all saying he was, but he's like, no, like, I'm good to go. And he took the net, even when he didn't have it, even if he knew he was going to get beaten up. Like, I just don't have it, and they're probably going to score a bunch of goals on me today, but I'm the only goalie. I guess I just have to wear it. Like, and it killed his numbers. Like, when he's negotiating his next contract, they're going to look, and they're going to get the point at last season and go, listen, man, we appreciate what you did. 48, 49 starts, 51 total games, and an .890 save percentage. That's bad.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to make as much money as he should because of the schedule he was on. I want him to get the opportunity to prove he's the guy. And that starts with being healthy when the season starts.
Yeah, and hopefully the defense doesn't fall apart as well. Remember,
that's the other part. Like, they need
that Montreal game where he had Drysdale and Sealer.
Sealer need to not play with their skates on the wrong feet for a game or two. Like, the forwards need to not, like, just stop defending for 2 weeks.
Seriously.
Like, they were great at it all year, and it was a couple of weeks where yeah, I just don't think we're going to back check today. Like, we're tired. Like, how are you this tired? Everyone plays this number of games. So I'm happy for Sam. It's a cool opportunity, and I think it's setting himself up for an even cooler opportunity down the road. I just really, really need him to be healthy in training camp, though.
I completely hear that. I really do. And we'll see how it works out there for Sam. But obviously, look, take advantage of this too while you're down there, Sam. So yeah, hopefully he doesn't come back with any injuries, and hopefully he definitely does pick up some valuable playing time down there.
Hopefully, I got to tell you about Rite Aid. Listen, it's that time of year. Birds are chirping, grass is growing. We're going to be talking about hockey playoffs in just a minute. And that means eyes are watering and throats are scratchy. Everyone out there who's been listening to the show for the last few weeks and months knows I'm an allergy sufferer. You can hear it in my voice on plenty of days. Pollen from trees, grasses, and weeds are a primary cause of seasonal allergies. Symptoms flare when the pollen you're allergic to is in the air, and it's possible to be allergic to just one or several types of pollen. Allergies suck. That's it, man. It just sucks. But there are steps you can take to help alleviate some of your allergy symptoms. First, sign up for Rite Aid Rewards emails at riteaid.com/rewards to receive email pollen alerts for your area. Pollen count is high? Try to stay inside. Keep windows and doors closed and run air conditioners as needed. And remove your shoes and coats near your door to minimize tracking pollen inside your home. And then at bedtime, take a shower to help wash away pollen from your skin and hair before you get into bed. And of course, you can visit Rite Aid to stock up on over-the-counter allergy solutions like a nasal rinse or antihistamines. Still not enough relief? Ask a Rite Aid pharmacist if a different type of allergy medication, like a decongestant, might be necessary. You can always ask your Rite Aid pharmacist for recommendations on ways to get relief during allergy season. Visit your local Rite Aid today, stock up on allergy relief, or catch up on immunizations for RSV, shingles, and more. Walk in or schedule a vaccine appointment at riteaid.com.
Dude, the allergy is so bad. You ever have them give you a headache?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's what I got right now.
It's this time, like, there is nothing redeeming about spring to me. Spring is baby reindeer. Like, just get me to summer. Just get me to freaking summer, man.
That's good.
It's the worst. But the time of year it is playoff time. And
playoffs.
Man, these playoffs, this second round is shaping up to be really good. The first round,
yeah,
we had the two really good series, but mostly a lot of these teams, especially in the East, were not good. Like, mm-hmm, the Islanders, the Caps, these teams flat out stunk.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't belong. they probably weren't as good as the Flyers, and the Flyers were not a good team. Like, they were mediocre at best, and these teams kind of just got in because the Flyers shit themselves the last couple weeks of the season.
Quite literally.
We go to Carolina, man, and Carolina, I have them winning the Cup. They're down 0-2 to the Rangers, and just kind of seems like a lot of the same problems. I thought this was going to come down to goaltending. Like, the Rangers had that advantage, but I think it might be more than that. And we talked about this a couple of days ago when all the Brendan Moore stuff was coming out, like his contract. They're not sure what's going to happen there. It seems like he's probably going to resign, but he just really wants to be their coach. And they're kind of maybe taking advantage of that. Like, oh, if you only want to coach here,
dude, that's insane.
We're going to not pay you what you're worth. I will say, I like Rod Brendamore. His teams, I think, perform, like, considering the talent he has on his teams and the fact that they're division contenders and President's Trophy contenders every year, I think he gets more out of his teams in the regular season than he should. That said, he's had no playoff success. Like, this team is a letdown in the playoffs every year. They have been the sexy pick for so long that it's like, oh, yeah, remember when everyone liked Carolina? People have gotten bored with the Carolina Hurricanes because, yeah, man, you have great regular seasons. You're pretty fun to watch. And then what happens? Like, they've been to, what, one conference final?
Right.
They haven't been to any cup finals. I don't know, man. Listen, I would snatch Rod Brendamore up in a second.
Oh, yeah.
If he was available, I'd be like, yes, absolutely, get rid of Torts, move him upstairs, whatever, and bring in Brendamore to be the coach. But he's never been like, oh, yeah, look at what he did with this team in the playoffs. My God. Like, they just kind of lose every year.
Yeah.
Like, it's unimpressively.
Well, this year was a little bit different because they really knocked the trade deadline out of the ballpark.
Yeah.
And so that's what I thought was going to be the difference for them getting over the hump and at least making the Stanley Cup Finals. But the Rangers have really matched that physicality. Obviously, we all know they had the offensive talent, defensive talent while we're talking about that too. But they've really matched that physicality with Carolina here in the second round matchup there. And so we'll see. The series flips now back down to Raleigh. Maybe that home ice advantage will be a big difference here. But you're right, man. The Brendy Carolina Hurricanes teams, they just in the playoffs, especially when you're talking about second and that one time they make the conference finals, just they can't get over the hump.
Yeah, and like they're going back home now. They haven't played a home game yet. This could easily in a couple of days be 2-2, and then we're talking about something different. But that's the playoffs, man. And ultimately, everyone's judged on what they do in the playoffs, fair or not. Like, yeah,
you're right.
Especially given this format and what it is. You know, they're maybe the second best team in the East, and they're playing the President's Trophy winner in the second round. Like, is that fair? Maybe not, but everyone sort of deals with, like, look at the West. Look at the quadrant in the West that the Dallas Stars and Colorado Avalanche have to go through to get to the Western Conference Final. Like, yeah, you know, the Dallas, Vegas is one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah,
they're out
because
they ran into the Dallas Stars, who were another legit cup contender in the first round. That's just the way this format is. Sometimes you're the Rangers and you take on a bad team, and sometimes you're the Stars and take on a team that's just as good as you.
Like, yeah.
It is just kind of what this format is, but at a certain point, you can't use that as the excuse.
Right.
Like, Carolina just has to win one of these big series,
yeah,
and they've come up short
speaking
a lot.
Yeah, speaking of the Rangers, too, like, we're talking about draft bust here. There was some talk up in New York land about Lafreniere being a potential bust. Dude's been big here for the playoffs for them. I mean, 2 goals last night for them.
They needed him.
Line.
They have so much top-end talent. It was like, we just need you to be something for us. We need you to just kind of fill a hole, whether it's like playing with Panarin, whatever it is. We don't need you to be the best player on this team. Like, we have Fox, we have Shesterkin, we have Panarin.
Mm-hmm.
We're not asking you to be one of those guys. We just need you to be a compliment to them. And he has been, I think, more than that. It's like, it is another, like, watching Travis Konechny the last couple years, I always, okay, so there's a potential for like a second wave of development. Like, even if a guy seems as if he's plateaued when he hits his early prime, maybe at 25, 26, there's another level where we've seen it with Owen Tippett as well. Like,
yeah.
Lafreniere, like, was he the shoe-in, can't-miss prospect, like, right away? No. But now he's put himself in conversation, like, oh, he's not a bust.
Yeah.
And, like, that's, it's encouraging considering the type of players the Flyers are going to be probably drafting the next few years, where maybe they're not top of the draft guys. There's some, okay, they're going to have take a step, but then there's another one. And it's, he seems to have taken that other one, and that's pretty huge.
Patience and putting him around some good pieces. Obviously, Lafreniere, with all that offensive talent that the Rangers have, I think it definitely has benefited well for him, Bill.
Oh, definitely. And that's like the case I'm trying to, I don't know if it's Mitch Marner or something else, but say Michkov does come over early.
Mm-hmm.
I want someone around him who's better than him. Like, he steps on this team and he's the best player on this team.
Right.
Obviously, like, development, he's not there yet in terms of like the star he's going to be, but just like puck skills, ability to score, the hype, all, like, he is the premier player on this team when he steps on the ice for this team. I want someone who can play off of him. I want someone he can play off of and like set him up for a goal. He can maybe just, you know, throw a pass up when he's in a slump and,
yeah,
hey, man, he's not on a 3-game pointless drought. He just picked up an assist because another dude made a play. Like, I think that's huge for his confidence and development, having somebody who's equally as good. And you're seeing that with Panarin and Lafreniere. Like, oh, how do we fix him? Oh, yeah, put him with Panarin.
That's,
and then suddenly you're getting more out of both.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like, I mean, like Edmonton, when Connor McDavid came in, he didn't have like a bunch of good players.
He's
play
expected
around
to drive the bus right away. And like, it's Connor McDavid. He's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
He can do it. If Michkov turns out to be the best player in the league, who gives a shit? But probably not. Like, the chances of that are slim. So I think it'll just help everyone if he has somebody to play off of right away. Like, even if he comes over early and he's not in his prime yet and Maybe we're not ready to contend. I still think it makes sense to at least go spend on one guy, whether it's a trade or a free agent, to just kind of help prop him up and like have a duo that can, like, on the power play, not be the worst power play in the league because of him and another guy.
Yeah, but not even like Michkov, Bill, but like we've had like a couple players that stepped up big in those late games. Like you look at Owen Tippett, Tyson Forrester, Bobby Brink. Having a veteran player like that that can score at that clip can even help out those type of players to bring them to the next level too.
As I talked about this, you know, when we were doing the player grades. Mm-hmm. On one point, I'm definitely disappointed Owen Tippett. Like last year, he had 27 goals. This year, he had 28. People were saying like, oh, this is the year he takes the step to 35. You know, Jim Jackson, Charlie interviewed him before the season, was like, I think he can score 40. And it's like, I'm disappointed he didn't seem to take like another step, just kind of repeated a very good year that he had from the previous season. At the same time, I look at it and go, all right, he's a goal scoring winger. They have no playmaking centers. How much better can he be without a compliment to what he does?
Yeah,
like Morgan Frost is their best playmaking center. He's a nice little player.
Yeah.
If Morgan Frost is your best playmaking center, you don't have any. Like, that's not good enough.
Not
and that's
at all,
kind of
man.
The situation they're in now. Like, yes, I kind of want them. I think there's a chance they're worse next season and they're maybe drafting higher, and perhaps that's good. But there are players on this team. Tyson Forster, 20 goals as a rookie. Awesome.
Yeah.
You know how he scores 30? If someone can set him up for a one-timer. Every now and then, someone can set him up for a one-timer on the power play. He can get the 30. Like, I do want to still focus on this rebuild, and maybe it's not the time to spend major assets on guys. But there are a couple of dudes who would really benefit in their development from having someone else to play off of.
Yeah, like we just said, like, you'd have kids here who can take that next level, and maybe a veteran player can help them. But, like, Ivan, look, we talk about Owen Tippett's shot. Imagine Owen Tippett's shot on a confident power play unit as well. We're probably talking about those that seven goals to get him to that 35-goal plateau. And that's part of having a veteran player.
I think he had like two or three power play goals this year. Like for a guy to score 28 and basically all at 5-on-5 and none of them on the power play, that's a really good season.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty good. And if he's this good and the power play just isn't the worst thing you've ever seen, he doesn't even have to necessarily get better. He'll just have more opportunity to actually score.
That's right.
Let's take a second to tell you about FOCO. FOCO has the absolute best officially licensed gear for all sports and fandoms, whether it's hoodies, jackets, beachwear, even overalls. There's something for fans for almost every occasion. And if you're in the market for some accessories, toys, or collectibles for your man cave, she shed, or podcast set, you've got to use FOCO for all your team gear needs there as well. FOCO always has our back for Philly sports, and they have yours too. Get the best gear around by using the link in the description of this show. And for all non-presale items, use promo code PHLY10. That's PHLY10 for 10% off at FOCO today. It's beach season. They got some good stuff. You know about the Flyer straw hat I'm going to be rocking this year down at Sea Isle.
Hell yeah.
You'll see me. I'll be the guy in the Flyer straw hat. Got that at FOCO. You can get yours there too. But it's for all occasion, man. It's overalls, umbrellas, all sorts of shit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, I'm a big fan of FOCO. And of course, it's a lot better than many of the alternatives.
Bill, real quick, because the comment section is bringing up a really interesting point here. What's your trust level right now with Torts when developing the young pieces? Because I saw a lot of those young pieces this past year did take some steps.
No, you look at, I think, like the fact that Bobby Brink made the team was huge.
Yeah.
Just like having the trust in him. I do think there was a big part of it. Like Tyson Forster was always going to make it. And they never expected Brink to have the camp and preseason he had. And then when he did, like he vastly outperformed Tyson Forster in the preseason. It was like, shit, if Forster makes it and Brink doesn't, our whole like you got to earn your ice time, accountability thing, competition is out the window. So Brink has to make it. And then Brink was really good to start the season and kind of fell off and got sent down. But like, I think Forster progressed as the season went on. I think his two-way play was good all year. Like he didn't score a goal for the first 15 games, never came out of the lineup. Because he plays the way Torts wants him to, he got to stay in and develop and eventually did find some scoring touch, finishes his rookie year with 20 goals.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Bobby Brink, yeah, took, I think, is ahead of the development curve they probably thought he was going to be on because he got the opportunity he got. Maybe would have liked to see him get into a few more games when they scratched him. Also, he's not like, this isn't Michkov we're talking about. Where he is in the lineup right now, second, third line, is probably where he's going to be in 3 years. And that's like not a knock on him. You need those guys too. It's just, I'm not going to freak out because he got scratched 4 or 5 more times than he should have been this year. I think he had a good rookie year.
Had the biggest step. Yeah.
Owen Tippett continuing kind of doing what he's doing, but Cam York is maybe the guy you look at and go, damn, I did not think he had this in him. Probably turned into their best defenseman in the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. Sanheim was a little banged up and just kind of couldn't keep up the pace he was on for the first half. I mean, he was freaking awesome for those first couple of months. We were doing the post games like, yo, if he keeps this up, he's going to be on the Norris ballot.
Yeah.
Like, this is insane. Yeah. I thought he stunk a year ago. And like now, and like he wasn't that by the end of the year, but he was at least pretty good, Sanheim. Like, I think he's found a way to get dudes to their potential. Like, whether it's Cam York becoming this team's top defenseman, or Sanheim at least being consistent. Like, we're going to play you a ton of minutes, and maybe it's more than you should play, mm-hmm. but you're going to be okay in those minutes. We're going to figure out a way to get you to the level you need to be at, and that's kind of what he's done. I mean, shit, man, Sam Harrison. We had no idea what this guy was, and his end-of-year numbers didn't look good. I am confident Sam Harrison is at least an NHL goalie.
Yeah.
Whether he's a number one, a tandem guy, a backup. They asked a ton from him, and I think like the mental makeup he had more than anything else showed what that he's at least an NHL goalie and what his role is. Like, we'll figure that out as we go. But no, I do have confidence in Torts. I think Torts is good for the rebuild. Honestly, it's when they're contending, I don't want to put up with his shit. Like, I'm sorry, man. No, if you think in a must-win game, sitting Bobby Brink and Morgan Frost, two of your eight best scorers this year, like number two and number eight in points per game, like in every statistic, like if you think sitting them for 30 minutes in a game where you have to score, scoring is all, like you need to win and win in regulation, which means you need goals. If you think sitting them is going to win you a game, like, if we're doing this in the playoffs in 2 years, no, I can't put up with Torts in that situation. I'm going to lose it. But like for this, getting guys to play the quote unquote right way, like teaching Travis Konechny that, dude, you got to play some defense. And now he's like a penalty kill weapon.
Oh, yeah.
Like turning a dude like that into that, I think is huge. I think he's good for right now. I like where he is right now.
He's setting the culture. Like, we're talking about
in the future. I don't want to put up.
We're talking about the Rangers and Hurricanes series. Like, the Flyers have that physicality.
Yes.
Now they need that skill set that both those teams have.
I think the Flyers, as much as like they blew it down the stretch, you know, they lose 8 in a row. They lose what?
It was like 8 of 11. 10
of 12 or whatever it was to close the season. Something like that. I think they would have put up a better fight in the first round than the Caps and Islanders.
For sure.
Now, there's no way for me to prove that. I'm just being a fan. But I watch the way the Flyers play, and I watch the way those teams play, and the Flyers play. They play a game that makes it just tighter. Like, they play a tight game that keeps you in it, and mm-hmm. they won a bunch of those games this year. Like, even games they lost. Like, I remember a Vegas game early in the season that they lost in, like, the final minute.
Right.
Couldn't force overtime. I think there was a Dallas game like that. They at least kept games interesting till the end this year. The Islanders and Caps just stunk. the Islanders were just like, yeah, we're just going to lose in overtime. Like, that was their thing.
Got our point.
And the Caps, I don't even know how the Caps did it, quite honestly.
I know, man.
Like, they're not good.
They were on the back of Ovi.
It was absolutely freaking insane what they were able to do. But the Flyers didn't make the playoffs, so what are you going to do about it? Mm. Just a couple other things I wanted to get to. The Avs comeback against the Stars was, man, this is going to be a great series.
It was pretty funny, man. Because, like, you know, you're up 3-0. You know the whole vibe in the building's like, yeah, everyone thinks they got it. And then here come the Avs, one after the other, and then it's 3-3.
All year, I thought about Colorado as like, yeah, they're awesome. But they don't appear to be like this team that, like when they won the Cup a couple of years ago, it just seemed all season they're on this mission that will not be. They are the Terminator. Like, I felt that about them. Like, yeah, there just ain't going to be no stopping this.
Yeah.
This year, I just never – I thought they were really good, but, like, no better than the Stars or Vegas or any of the great teams out West. These playoffs, though, like, I mean, they decimated Winnipeg, and now they make this comeback on Dallas. It might just be the Avs. Like, it might just be like, yeah, there's a reason Nathan MacKinnon is the MVP. Dude. Because he forces his team to win.
And they, like – they follow him. They kind of play in this similar way that he does. Like, he's the ultimate leader, both on and off the ice, man.
That's Charlie said something really interesting about them earlier in the season. Like, Miles Wood scores the winner last night. And it's funny because you look at it like, okay, he's whatever. But you know what he can do? Fucking skate, yeah, man. And that team all just kind of follows in. Like, they are built to play Nathan MacKinnon hockey.
Literally.
We are just going to bull rush you. We are going to be so much faster. Like, they built the team this way to just play with this sort of speed. Like, they lean into what they are. Is like, okay, well, like, the Flyers had the top lines. Like, yeah, we're just going to play for two-on-ones and breakaways and shit. And then the fourth line is just out there, you know, banging away.
Mucking and grinding,
yeah,
man.
Like, they are the only line that can forecheck. And they were pretty good at it, especially in the beginning of the season and then, like, later when it kind of got refigured. But, like, the identity was different line to line. And I feel like the Avs are just like, yeah, we're just going to come at you with all this speed all game. Good luck keeping up. Like, yeah, guess what? We're gonna be able to make comebacks because you're going to be tired.
Yeah.
Like, that's good luck chasing us all game. By the end, we're going to be the ones, like, with energy left.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're Dallas, how can you feel good going in the – this just for the rest of the series, let alone game two? Because you just saw what they did to the Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets beat the Avs in game one, and then, boom, the Avs just pulled up four straight wins. It's gonna be an interesting series here.
We're finally getting game one of Vancouver-Edmonton tonight.
That's going to be fun.
Wednesday. I'm really looking forward to the series. There's just so much talent on the ice there. That's another, like, Avs start. Like, the West is so good. I think the East playoffs are really just – it was always about this series, Carolina, the Rangers, and then Florida versus whoever wins that.
Mm-hmm.
But Boston won game one. I need Florida to win this series. I cannot deal with – I'm just done with Boston. They've had their time. They've had their run. It's over. I need no more success for Boston teams.
Well, taking it back as a Philly sports fan, right? Bill, we have the possibility of the NBA and the NHL Eastern Conference Finals being New York and Boston.
No.
And guys, I know everyone can agree. We don't want any of that. This past Saturday, I went to go watch Andrew Schultz at Madison Square Garden. And as I'm leaving, dude, right above me, it's Jalen Brunson and it's Truba. Right above me, dude.
It's
pain.
Oh, is that what you were doing in New York?
Yeah.
I love so much that my personal brand is that you happen to walk by the Ghostbusters firehouse, and you were just like, I have to send this to
you. Yeah, randomly walk by.
That just makes me so happy to, like, get that picture. Like, I'm so you see the Ghostbusters logo, and it makes you think of me. That I've made it, honestly. Like, I have accomplished everything I need to accomplish. Let me, before we get out of here, tell you about Game Time. Game Time is the place for last-minute MLB ticket deals. You know about the killer last-minute deals, all-in pricing. See what you're going to pay before you get to that last page. Actually know what you're going to be spending. That's huge. Views from your seat. I've told you about how awesome the view, the seat view came in for us when we went to the stadium series up at MetLife. And the lowest price guarantee, Game Time says, hey, man, you're going to find tickets in the same section in a row for less? We'll credit you 110% of the difference. That's how confident they are in their prices. Game Time, they take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets or any tickets. I got to say, like, Phils, man.
How are
you not in the mood to go to a Phils game this year?
I'll tell you,
for the last few years, like, I had to work down there. I produced a lot of the remotes, like, at the little broadcast booth on the concourse. And so I had to be there. And the game, like, it would be half hour, 45 minutes away. I'd be like, I don't feel like staying. Now that I don't have to do that, I feel I've gone to like at least one game a week since the season has started. And I've missed. Awesome, I forgot how much I loved going to games now that like I don't have to be there and be there hours early and everything. And going with Game Time, it's probably the best way to do it, man. I'm telling you. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PHLY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PHLY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. You want to go see the best team in baseball? Do it with Game Time. It's that simple. You can even get $20 off with PHLY.
They honored Joe Watson Monday.
Oh, they did. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I see we have another super chat from Johnny G. Two first round picks and Bobby Brink, a second round pick for me, 40% retained, and the fourth overall, and Demidoff falls to Flyers. So tell Danny,
this guy's good.
If they would get fourth overall and Johnny Gaudreau at 40% retained, I'd give up anything except Mitch Kopf. Like, go ahead. Yeah, have fun. I do love fantasy trades and shit are so much fun this time of year. It's hilarious, time of year, guys. It is. All right. That will basically do it for us today. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for hanging out. If you haven't already, follow us right here on the YouTube page. Make sure you subscribe and set those reminders so you never miss a live show. We'll be back here at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Kelly will be joining me as we continue to try to survive Charlie's absence while he's off shirking his duties.
Drinking Italian wine.
Yeah, taking his first vacation in probably 2 years. Kelly will be here with me tomorrow at 1. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at @PHLY_Flyers. And follow the podcast, PHLY Flyers, wherever you download those. All right, that'll do it for us. Thank you so much to Mortgage CS. Make sure you check out MortgageCS.com/PHLY to start your home buying process today. I'm Bill Matz. That's JC. JP Zapata. Stay loose and sexy, Philly. Y'all silly like the mayor.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.